Hey everyone, welcome back to the best of 2018 in Turnbuckle Trash. These are the old podcasts that we've done. We've pulled out some of the highlights, and we're going to be doing October, November, and December. First up, October. And in the month of October, Elias and KO get some major heat in Seattle. Abyss gives some advice. John Cena making news with the children's book. NXT continues to grow. And WWE controversy overseas. All coming up in this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
And now, on Turnbuckle Trash, we have a segment we call How to Get Heel Heat. Monday night, October the 1st, Seattle, Washington. Elias, KO. They were there to hype up their matches with the Super Showdown against John Cena and Bobby Lashley. And they got heat.
You know, man, you and I teaming up, it makes sense. Right, we respect each other. We have similar likes and dislikes. We're both fantastic competitors. Look, let's just come out and say it. We're both great guys. We're just a couple of great guys.
Yes. Yes. I'm glad you said it.
But you know what doesn't make sense? John Cena teaming with Bobby Lashley.
Kevin. It doesn't make sense, you know? It's like having a basketball team in Seattle.
Clearly, you've really upset them here, but
SmackDown Live had their 1,000th show on October the 16th. Some of the old GMs there, Vicky Guerrero. Also, you heard John Laurinaitis. You had Paige and Teddy Long. Give me a little holla. There was a title change on SmackDown Live. The WWE Tag Team Champions no longer the New Day. The champions are Cesaro and Sheamus, The Bar, with a heel turn change from none other than the returning Big Show. Sheamus had taken a table, it was full of pancakes, of course, and the pancakes were turned over and everything was kind of discombobulated. Down comes the Big Show, who is returning from injury, and throws him through the table. Inside the ring, Sheamus gets a broke kick, and the 1, 2, 3. They don't set the bar. They are the bar. One of the great tag teams. I got to admit, at the very first, when I saw Truth TV out there with Carmella, and they were doing their bit, and I saw out comes Stephanie, and then Shane McMahon, and then Mr. McMahon, and they started doing the dance breaks. Thought that was hilarious. I wish they would have incorporated more of those little dance breaks right in the middle of the show, in between matches. Maybe have Truth out there with Carmella sitting ringside and all of a sudden, you know, doing the dance thing. I thought it was hilarious. We have some news from TNA, some that we'll talk about more in the second portion of our program. But part of the event over the weekend with Abyss being a member of the Impact Hall of Fame, I'll just kind of read a statement. I thought it was really good. And he said in his acceptance speech, to the young men and women of the business right now, if I could give one piece of advice, one day Father Time is going to come up and tap you on the shoulder, and you can ignore him. You can blow him off, but he's not going anywhere. He's going to be right there behind you. How do you want to be remembered? Abyss went on to say, because in the end, I promise you this, all the titles, all the tours, and all the Twitter followers aren't how you're going to be remembered. So when you've reached and you've attained your goals and you're on your own on top of the hill and you're feeling great right before you pump that fist, turn around and put your hand out, help the next guy to the top of the hill with you. Congratulations to the daughter of the great Eddie Guerrero and Vicky Guerrero. Her name is, I think it's Shaw Guerrero. She's been hired as the new ring announcer for WOW, the Women of Wrestling, which is on an Access TV. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood had their Red Carpet Rumble series of shows. David Arquette was there, and he took on CJ City. Let's just say, David Arquette, the former WCW champion, I know you need to make a living. I know you need to do something to bring in a couple of bucks, but wrestling isn't it, Bubba. I'm sorry. He looked horrible. It was, in three words, pathetic. He had baggy shorts on, baggy Speedos, and there ain't nothing worse than a baggy Speedo, especially in the back end, if and you know what I mean. David Arquette ain't got back. As bad as the David Arquette match was, there was a really good match as part of the Red Carpet Rumble. I really enjoyed the match between Baines and Watts. It was an empty arena match, but the empty arena match actually was done very well. I would say this was the best match I've ever seen Watts involved with. So congratulations to you guys, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. John Cena has a new children's book out. Yes, he is now an author, and now he has a series of children's books that just came out. And John Cena, yeah, you can't see him. He was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and read a portion of his new children's book.
He fell behind, but he kept on trucking. Oof! He got covered in mud, but he kept on rolling. Yuck. Elbow grease was stuck, and for the first time, he wondered if his brothers were right. And he started to cry. I'm not crying. I'm just cold and tired, and I'm scared of the lightning. Crack-a-lacka! Boom-shack-a-lacka!
and Bobby Lashley has made a heel turn. Good move, WWE. Although Lilo Rush on that microphone constantly, his voice just goes right through my head. But I'm not going to complain because I love the gimmick. We know who attacked Aleister Black on NXT. Remember, Aleister was injured right before the last big event the NXT had. And it was going to be a three-way match with Gargano. But storyline, someone had attacked Aleister Black. And who was it? A female wrestler, Nikki Cross, she's been going around saying, I know who did it. I know what you did. And who was it that attacked Aleister Black in the parking lot? Johnny Gargano. Johnny Wrestling. Who's been this good guy, good guy, good guy? Is this a complete heel turn? Does it mean that DIY is coming back together again?
Today, a special edition, once again, Turnbuckle Trash. We've got a three-way call going on here.
What do you think? What do you think of Cena's new hairdo?
He looks like John Bradshaw Layfield.
The real question is, what do you think about his new finisher, the sixth move of doom?
He's been playing too much Mortal Kombat.
I just think that back elbow is wicked. The attitude adjustment with boom, the back elbow. I mean, nothing screams finish him like that. The ruthless aggression days when they were actually allowed to say STFU, and then they had to shorten it to the STF. I mean, what is the STF anyways? But, you know, the STFU stood for shut the... You know.
First, we had a little bleep in there with the show. These just like the people in the WWE or the talk show hosts as you know, beep.
I can do that.
It's time to discuss some controversy.
Controversy. Controversy. Controversy.
Boy, in the world of. There's a lot of controversy right now. And it's not very often that professional wrestling makes national news, but boy, it's been all over the national news. Give us a little backstory on what's going on right now.
Okay, what has happened with what's going on with national news coverage with WWE and the Crown Jewel event has to do with a reporter from one of the Washington newspapers, I believe it was the Washington Post, who evidently was kidnapped and killed in Saudi Arabia recently. The WWE should not be going to Saudi Arabia because of the political climate there. And there was actually some talk from Al-Qaeda about possible repercussions. Now, whether that's going to happen with Crown Jewel, I certainly hope the WWE, with a congressional order not to go to Saudi Arabia for this weekend event.
Last time we brought up a controversial topic on Turnbuckle Trash, there was we caught a little backlash from some fans and things. I mean, do we dare even go down this road?
I say we dare. I wrote.
If they don't like it, tough Nuggies, tough Oreos, go ahead and let's talk about what we think is right or wrong. And if they don't like it, all they got to do is, unsubscribe, don't do anything else, and turn your earphones off and quit listening. And don't be so sensitive. If you don't like it, please. I'll pack your bag for you. No problem. Go ahead, Zane. You go first.
Well, I'm a little bit confused as to why. I mean, like, I'm not trying to sound insensitive. I'm not trying to sound anything like that. I'm just saying I'm not sure why the controversy. You know, if the WWE wants to perform in Saudi Arabia, and I'm sure Vince is getting the issue is, I mean, they're not supporting that type of behavior or anything. I mean, just because they're performing for the Sheiks, I guess. I don't see what the issue is. Expound on that, Dave. Like, because you're kind of in the media and on a more local level, but you do cover some. And maybe you could further explain why the controversy.
deals, and it does concern me any time I hear someone who is in the media being threatened or also being, you know, in this case, evidently killed for doing his job, which I think is an absolute shame. But this isn't like being banned from Cuba for so many years. I understand why some people are concerned and some of the performers are concerned. You're in business. There are people over there in Saudi Arabia working in the oil fields that face danger all the time.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, if a performer doesn't feel comfortable with, and their contract mandates that they have to perform that, but yet they're not up for it, I mean, how does something like that work out?
That's when lawyers get involved and make a lot of money. Well, Chris,
so
what's your take on this?
I think we ought to have all the WWE superstars wear Make America Great Again hats while they go over there. I think that the safety of the superstars need to be at first at hand. We don't want no problems out of these, I'll call them thugs, because that's what they are, they're thugs. I think that they can just go up to a building or something and blow themselves up and have their 30 or 60 forward versions or whatever the heck it was. Superstars do not want to go. Don't let them go. Okay, that's fine. If our government steps in and says you're banned from going, how's Vince going to stop that? Unless he gets an
injury. I don't know if they would ever say something like that or do something like that.
I think it all depends, guys, on whether the United States government bans travel to that country. I mean, so many years we had the situation with Cuba, where travel was completely banned, tourism and everything, business with Cuba was banned. That's not in place right now. However, the government can put a warning out there and temporarily ban, but I don't think that's going to happen at this time. I think Crown Jewel will be going on.
Their big controversy in the media and so on and so forth is Linda McMahon being in Donald Trump's cabinet as his small business liaison, that they're condoning this type of behavior, the Trump administration. Linda McMahon is probably so far from the business right now with her political career that I'm like, that just kind of, let's be honest, that's a stupid thing to even bring up and say.
To me, it's a non-issue.
I don't think she has anything to do with it. I think she's far away from the business right now. She's got more things to worry about than the WWE.
But we've got the 1,000th episode of Raw, which is cool. And then we've got Crown Jewel, Shawn Michaels making his in-ring return.
Right,
I have something to say about this.
Well, Shawn Michaels, yay, you're coming back. You're coming out of retirement. let me give you, if I had a violin, I'd play it right now for you. Yeah, that's great. You're coming out of retirement. You're going to fight whoever. And you look like a turtle that just came out of a shell. Shake your head. What in the world? I mean, wow. I didn't recognize you. Shawn, it's time for you to go. Go away. Please go away. Take Triple H with you.
Dave, I hear you got guys on the program. I guess it's one thing like I mentioned, you know, SmackDown Live, you got a few guests coming back for one night, right?
Right.
And here you've got guys like Triple H still headlining after how many years? I mean, some of these guys that are really good that are just kind of getting looked over for guys like Shawn Michaels.
That's what brings the money.
Yeah, that's it. That's what brings in the money. And there is a certain amount of nostalgia when people look back at DX and the Attitude Era. I would prefer to see maybe them get involved in a match, but not necessarily headlining. The time has passed. I mean, you know, the Brothers of Destruction against DX.
Michaels has been out of the ring for over 10 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been out for 10 years. Make the occasional appearance, do a super kick here and there. But
so, Dave, see if your crystal ball's in there. Is that sucker in there still? Get that sucker out, dust it off. Let's look in the future a little bit. So what do we see? What do you see the future of the WWE right now in its current state. But I mean, like you said, I know, Chris, you talk about as long as you're putting butts in the seats and as long as you got somebody that's box office, and how long can guys like The Undertaker and Triple H and Kane and that so-called carry the company? Or is it time for them to just...
beaten a dead horse. And that horse has been dead for years as far as I'm concerned. So once again, Chris, what do you think, my man?
I mean, okay, fine. We've seen you, Triple H. We've seen you from steroids to flab. We've seen you, Undertaker, from a shaved head to a prosthetic limb. I mean, come on. It's over. Shawn Michaels, you had the boy toy. Now you're the oi oi. You are nothing. It's over. Go into the sunset. Let the other guys have it. Yeah, I'd love to see the Undertaker. But how many times can you wait 15 minutes before he gets down the aisle? Next time it's going to be in one of those roll-away chairs.
No, and I'm not taking away from the Undertaker being in good shape. I mean, that guy would probably take all three of us on and probably not bat an eye, because I know I'm a weakling, and I know Dave's pretty strong, but I mean, you got martial arts under your belt, but, you know, wasn't it this summer that Terry Funk was back in the ring, Dave?
Yeah, he still does an occasional appearance, not very much, but by the way, during the last pay-per-view, and I timed out how long the entrance was from the time they introduced Shawn Michaels until they got all four of the competitors into the ring and ready to go, when The Undertaker took his hat off, was over 15 minutes. But entrance music.
I mean, why do they even call it a pay-per-view when everybody has the network? I mean, do you think anybody, honestly, across the country still gets on Dish Network and goes, oh, hey, look at this! Evolution's on this Sunday! Hello, baby! $59.99! Dang! Well, let me call Fredo up and get his butt over here and we can split that sucker. $30 ain't bad to watch a WWE event. Dude, when was the last time something like that happened?
It depends on where they put the pay-per-view. If it's in, like, San Francisco or New York or Florida, the pay-per-view is going to be up. But if they put it in Kekakech, Kansas or something like that, the pay-per-view ain't going to be nothing. As of you trying to find out the buy rates for the pay-per-view, that's like looking for Obama's his birth certificate. Can't go find it. Sorry.
We have a new champion at Impact, and this Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Morris, Johnny Hennigan, the former WWE star also in Lucha Underground, he is now the new champ. And he beat...
Dave, don't forget to add in there, well-decorated Hollywood movie star.
Oh, yeah, don't want to forget that.
he's a movie star. Yeah, his movies went straight to DVD, just like Triple H.
They get the 1, 2, 3, and I saw some video of this. It was very grainy. It was from a fan video. And then Austin Aries, as soon as the 1, 2, 3, he just gets up and walks out of the ring, starts screaming at some of the Impact officials, and Johnny Impact telling that, you know, he's all beat up and he's so happy to win the match. And Austin Aries is just walking away like nothing's ever happened. And you can see Johnny saying, what the? So the controversy was it storyline?
Austin Aries is a prick, excuse me. He is stubborn-headed. He's ill-minded. I will say what Jim Cornette set him about a while back on one of his podcasts. You'll have to have that bleep button here in just a second. But Austin Aries is a monotonous, two-timing, egotistical, self-centered, and I won't say the other word.
But when you're a professional, you sell. And that's the only thing that bugs me about the whole situation. He did the fans a disservice. If this is true, and from what I could see on the videotape, he did not sell the final move. He lost the match, but he didn't sell it.
Or like Vince McMahon said, the time-honored tradition, he did a disservice for the company and the fans He needs to be blackballed. He needs to go bye-bye. In Austin Aries, we don't care about you.
So what happens to a guy like that, Dave, that anybody, does he find himself out of work, or does he find himself just bouncing?
But if this is true, and it is a reoccurring theme in his work, then eventually it will catch up with him. Double A is now involved with Ring Warriors, which tapes at Sam's Town in Las Vegas, and I think they just did a taping this past week. Austin Aries involved with that, along with Marty the Moth. But if he is getting difficult to work with, it'll eventually get to the point where people don't want to book him. If it's difficult to work with, there's going to be a time when it will come to bite you in the old wazoo, as they say. And once again,
you know, that's the wonderful thing about a podcast like Turnbuckle Trash, a professional wrestling encyclopedia. You just, the knowledge that you have from your experience in professional wrestling is just phenomenal. No pun intended for AJ Styles.
Why, thank you. I'll let my ego grow immensely now.
I do have my hip waders on right now, and it's kind of deep out here.
Speaking of Lucha Underground, how about our buddy? How about Marty the Moth Martinez being champion right now?
That's pretty neat, you know.
I'll
tell you, Dave, I almost wet myself the other day. I was going to text it to you, but then I went ahead and reread the headline. Who's the gal that's working with him in Lucha right now?
Okay, she goes by the name of Rakusla, I think is how they say it. If you watched any Impact over the last 2 years, she was Laura Van Ness on Impact Wrestling. Okay.
So apparently she has been offered an NXT contract, from what I read the other day. And so when I read the headline, it said, I overlooked her name, and it said, so-and-so has been offered an NXT contract. And then I read the name, I kind of skipped down a few lines, and then I read the name Marty the Moth. I was like, Marty the Moth going to NXT? Oh my gosh! I was like, excited, I was going to text you this headline. And then I reread it, and I was like, oh, so-and-so that's working with.
They did just sign Punishment Martinez, who is one of my favorites from ROH. And he's only been wrestling for a couple of years, but man, he's got this incredible voice that I hope they use, really deep and really foreboding. And I hope they keep this character really, really dark. Punishment Martinez. Hey, you guys know what's getting ready to happen at the end of the month?
Oh, the Chris Jericho cruise.
Yes, that's where Jericho was supposed to make his debut for Impact.
Did you realize that they're going to be filming while they're on this cruise, and it's going to be a reality show? From last I heard, it's only going to be on the Canadian, the Rock Wrestling and Comedy Tour on the sea. That would just be a blast, man.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be a reality show, I mean, how are they going to kick people off the reality show? Are they going to throw them off the boat, be like a Survivor?
Hey, and speaking of Survivor, who's on this year's Survivor? Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, Johnny Hennigan. Zane, you said you wanted to talk to me about UCW Zero. I took a young man named Jonathan, and Jonathan, he just turned 16. I'm practically like his grandfather. I'm that old. And he has just started to express some interest in professional wrestling. For his 16th birthday present, I took him to Salt Lake City to see UCW Zero, and it was every match inside a steel cage, every one of them.
Tell us who some of the locals that were there.
Guerrero Azteca, he wrestled for the championship. And then they made it a three-way match with a performer that performs a lot on the West Coast, Blake Grayson. And he became the champion of UCW Zero at that steel cage event. He is being trained by a name we all know, the Brian Kendrick.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I heard you this morning in the question and answer that you're being trained by...
He's always down to show us anything, and I'm just really blessed to have him as my trainer.
And where do you do your training at?
In Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Is that where Brian's based out of now?
Yeah, he's there right now. He also has shows, independent promotion shows out there, and I work the shows for him. I train with him, and I try to train with him after training. Milk his brain, anything I can just to get better.
Once again, that interview took place about 3 years ago in Salt Lake City, Utah. Blake Grayson wrestling with the War promotion at the time, talking about the Brian Kendrick.
One of our favorite things was their Big Vig.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is huge, and he's got the look. He can move. Somebody's got to pick up Big Vig. Somebody. He needs a nationwide audience.
Yeah, and of course, was our favorite people there, Andrew Solow and Tom Chaz.
Neither of them won. Andrew had been suspended, from the ring, and he was not there, and then I thought Tom was gonna be there. Who was there? The tag team champions, the Brothers Smith.
Ah, yes.
Now, Chris, Brothers Smith wouldn't work any place else but here in Utah, maybe in Idaho. They dress up like, kind of like Mormon missionaries. And they're two guys that you wouldn't look at being good performers, but they can really turn it on in the ring. I got to talk to them a little bit before the match, and they go right along with that Brother Smith gimmick. It is hilarious.
It is fun. And then I love when they get the fans chanting, shame, 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 shame.
and you know, I'm going to say this real quick. Guys, I was talking to a local radio announcer here, Jason Williams, who's on 610 KVNU, a station I also work with. And he listens to our podcast, and he made the comment that I thought was really nice. Jason, thank you so much for the comment. He said he likes listening to our podcast because he can tell that we enjoy talking about professional wrestling. And I think that's what we do, isn't it?
That's October. What happened during the month of November? Well, we had some shocking news about a superstar's health, and he had to give up the belt. And Evolution, the all-women's pay-per-view, was great. Crown Jewel, not so much. It all happened in November on Turnbuckle Trash.
And as The Rock looks at all four of you jabronis,
The Rock is cooking.
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
If you smell!
Sad note for Mr. Roman Reigns.
That's really news. Horrible news.
Yes, it is. I mean, that just came out of the blue that his leukemia has come back after 10 years or what? I mean, how long? I mean, that's something like a punch in the stomach.
I'm a cancer survivor with prostate cancer from several years ago. You hear that C word, it is devastating, and I was absolutely floored when I found out about Roman Reigns.
He relinquishes the title. He walks away. It could take him a year. It could take 2 years. We don't know when he's going to come back, if he comes back. Right now, this is real life. This don't have anything to do with the WWE. This is a real man and a real disease that we don't know what's going to happen, but we all hope he makes it out of this. So,
yeah, I don't know if you heard this or not, but his cousin, Samu of the Headhunters, yeah, he has stage 4 liver cancer. He announced it but to see the raw emotions, especially of Seth Rollins, he was devastated. You could tell that he didn't know until it was announced. And then Corey Graves, who could barely speak. It was a heart-wrenching situation.
Yeah. As soon as he went into the back and they had that WWE exclusive, they saw all the wrestlers coming up, hugging him. It just shows that, okay, these guys play a good role, but when it comes down to it, They are kind of like a family.
Well, history was made as the all women's evolution took place.
The women can really put on a good show. They always do. I mean, I was expecting a little bit more from the old, you know, older generation come up and.
Yeah, the tag team match between Trish and Lita with against Alicia Fox and Mickie James. You actually had four members of the old school going against each other. And then I don't know if you ever saw the interview that was taking place backstage with Alicia Fox before. And she was in tears saying
really?
How this was the biggest match of her life, that she had worked so hard to throughout the years to be taken seriously as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me a lot of respect. I've always loved Foxy anyway. I love that crazy character she plays. But when you saw her on Divas, you know, that's pretty much her. So
the women deserve it. They need to be put on the top of the tier and let them have the spotlight from now on. I mean, they are what's keeping the WWE afloat some, because some of their matches outdo the men. Look at Charlotte and Becky. That one right there was the best. Well, they had a lot of bloopers through the commentary, too, thanks to Michael Cole and his wonderful commentary, calling them both men at the same time. Both men have not gotten up. Oops. Watch. Look what you're watching. So.
Oh, I was looking,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, I know.
That's a sexist comment. Oh, I love that match between Becky and Charlotte. Then when they tried that that table shot, they put Becky onto the table, and Flair did that moonsault, and the table didn't break. The great thing about a table is it looks great when it breaks, and they mm-hmm. act like it's going to be, you know, killer, but it actually cushions the fall a little bit, you know?
I'm sure there's some bruised ribs. If they try it again, maybe they can bring in some more stars from other organizations. Maybe NXT could be in there. I mean, the NXT took over like crazy, too, with the women's match. That was a heck of a match, too, for the title. Well, NXT seems to be taking over more than SmackDown and Raw is. And I like what NXT is doing. And now that they have shown off an evolution, I hope that they get called up to the main roster, because I'd love to see them go against Becky or go up against Ronda Rousey and see how that was. That's another sleeper match, with Ronda Rousey with Nikki Bella. I was expecting a little bit more action to it. It's Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella. What do you expect?
You got to admit the build up to that match is very well done. It got very personal. Talking about the love life of the Bellas and then bringing in Ronda's mom. And
well, I mean, controversy creates cash. Everyone's calling that the pipe bomb of the year. But at least Ronda can speak now in the mic, and she doesn't think that she's on another planet or she can't go through time. I don't know. I mean,
and she wrote that promo herself.
Oh, really?
She had most of the input on how that promo was going to go.
Well, good. It's about time that they gave a little bit more creative control to the wrestler instead of having the people in the back that smoke the crack pipes thinking that they know everything. But let the wrestlers do what they're supposed to do.
I wish they would let them have a little bit more creative control, but to let them use their own personality a little bit more, where they would feel more comfortable. Stone Cold Steve Austin is the perfect example. When he was stunning Steve Austin in WCW, he cut a good promo, but he had to hold himself back a little bit.
Best promo that Stone Cold ever did, if you watch the promo that when he first came to ECW, WCW, that was one of the best promos I have ever seen that man ever do, because it was all him. But that's what's wrong with wrestling. They don't let him do it. It's all scripted for him. Say this. Don't say that.
What about that 20-woman battle royal?
I enjoyed it. Did you?
I liked when they did the dance. The one thing I took away from that 20-woman battle royal was during the entrances. When they were introducing everybody, I thought the biggest pop from the crowd came when Asuka came out. I think that they have just completely misused Asuka, but maybe it's because Becky and Charlotte are just tearing it up right now.
I don't think they just know what to do with Asuka. I don't know. They really screwed up when they got her over here.
You know, we talked about the embarrassment of riches that the WWE has. And sometimes these performers just get lost in the shuffle, and I think that's what's going on with Asuka right now.
Yeah, she's been lost in the shuffle. She was just Bobby's. He's been lost in the shuffle. Nakamura, he's been lost in the shuffle. Sanity, they've misused everybody. Let's get some new blood in. No, let's just keep the old blood and keep the old ways going. No, it's not going to work that way. Once you've seen a match four or five times and you know what the outcome is going to be, why do we want to go right back to doing that again? It doesn't make any sense.
The announce team, let's talk a little bit about the announce team. Michael Cole, along with Renee Young and Beth Phoenix, in the Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya match against the Riot Squad, Beth Phoenix so many times talked about women's professional wrestling. Vince does not like the term professional wrestling. He wants it called sports entertainment. There was also another time that I thought was kind of funny. They were talking about Ruby Riott. Renee Young says, she's a very complicated person. She has several layers. She's kind of like an onion. She has layers. Well, I start laughing. My wife's over on the other couch, and I start laughing out loud. She says, why? I said, I think I'm watching Shrek again, talking about onions and layers.
You know, not everybody likes onions.
Cake! Everybody loves cakes. Cakes have layers.
I don't care what everyone likes. Ogres are not like cakes.
You know what else everybody like? Parfaits. Have you ever met a person you say, hey, let's get some parfaits? They say, hell no, I don't like no parfaits. Parfaits are delicious.
No! You dense, irritating, miniature beast of burden. Ogres are like onions. End of story. Bye-bye. See you later.
Parfaits may be the most delicious thing on the whole damn planet, you know?
Oh, my Lord. Now that I look at her, that woman, I will now think Shrek for the rest of my life.
I mean, you don't like Lilo Rush? You don't like Lilo Rush going, Lash me! Lash me!
To me, that's like running your fingers down a chalkboard while you're hitting me in the head with a spoon. No. Even Lashley has got to be saying you're sticking me with him. But Crown Jewel is just going to be so... It's going to be hard to really for people to watch it because... I don't know. Do you really want to see Crown Jewel? I mean, to be honest.
I like the tournament idea. But I would love to see as the final, The Miz and Dolph Ziggler going against each other.
I mean, then we're going to see DX. And The Undertaker and Kane, again. I don't know.
Again and again.
It's like going to the same hamburger over again at McDonald's and saying, have you changed the sauce? No, you haven't.
I have some interest in it just because of nostalgia. And I thought Triple H and The Undertaker did a pretty good job. But in a tag match with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, I think they can get a little bit more rest in and maybe make it more of an action-packed match than what we're really thinking at this point. I would hope the WWE would allow the performers to say, look, I don't feel comfortable with what's going on over there, and I would prefer not to go. I would think at that point you need to say – to your performers or anybody that your personal thoughts and your personal opinions have to come into play when it comes to contracts. There's a wrestler named Jeff Cobb. He is now a dual champion. He's a champion in the Ring Wars, which is on WGN America. He won their recent tournament. As he beat one of my favorites in Eli Drake. And then recently, Jeff Cobb also beat Punishment Martinez to become the Ring of Honor TV champion. Martinez is signed to contract now with NXT and the WWE.
And that was kind of sudden that Cody Rhodes lost that title on...
Yeah, NWA that was at the NWA 70th anniversary show in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah,
where Nick Aldis won it again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really figured Cody would hold on to that title a little bit longer than he did. But he still holds one more title. He holds the IWGP Heavy U.S. Championship. And Chris Jericho is making big headlines now with his cruise that he has. That went off very well from what I understand. Everyone had a blast on the ship. I mean, he married a couple there, and Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross was there. They had a real good time, and the next rumor that's going around is Jim Ross and Chris Jericho are trying to get a company going together.
Yeah, I put it onto our Facebook page. The MK Bandit recently had a story done about him out of a Salt Lake City TV station, ABC4, and we put it onto our Facebook page. But if anybody that's listening that wants to see the MK Bandit and what he does Monday through Friday and how they did this story about professional wrestling and the heel, I think one of the up-and-comers in the managerial ranks in all of professional wrestling right now, you can check that out on ABC4, or there is a link on our Facebook page, and talking about how...
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
We usually try to do this about every 2 weeks, but with all the things that happened at Crown Jewel, there's a lot of anger out there. This is a special edition about Crown Jewel, and we're not very complimentary this time about the WWE.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were wrestling?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
As good as the WWE evolution was, at times Crown Jewel was the complete opposite. This was an aggravating and disappointing pay-per-view, one of the worst I've ever seen. The best match of the night was Samoa Joe and AJ Styles for the WWE Championship. I was looking forward to Daniel Bryan and AJ, but Bryan refused to go to Saudi Arabia because of the situation there, and I think that's his right. John Cena was absent because of his refusal to go. Insert Bobby Lashley into the Best of the World Tournament. Lashley lost to Seth freaking Rollins, and his hype man Lilo Rush was without his microphone so as not to completely annoy the crowd with his Lashley, Lashley, Lashley. But hey, that's a story for another day. On this day, Crown Jewel started in the pre-show with a fine match, Nakamura and Rusev, for the U.S. title. But who would have thought the U.S. title match was much better and more entertaining than the Universal title match? Now, I know they had to scramble to come up with a storyline for that Universal title match because of the situation with Roman Reigns. But to have Baron Corbin hit Braun Strowman with the title belt, and then the five FIs from Lesnar to win the title, it just didn't work. To paraphrase DX, I have two words for you. Stupid. Or three words. Ass. Nine. I feel bad for the monster among men. First at WrestleMania, he was given Nicholas. Remember that 10-year-old kid he tagged with and won the tag titles and then had to give them up? The only people deserve to get the hands from Strowman are the writers who dream up this crap. But as the TV commercials for late-night TV products say, wait, there's more! Because the stupidity gets even stupider, if that is a word. After the Best in the World tournament had Dolph Ziggler and The Miz in the finals, and I was excited about that because of that great feud they had just 2 years ago. Wait, there's more! Because the quality of the stupidity in the writing for this pay-per-view continues to grow, kind of like a chia pet at Christmas. The Miz is injured. And Shane McMahon comes in to take his place. Shane beats Ziggler. And then Shane acts like he's really done something. Yeah, that means a heel turn for Shane McMahon. A McMahon turning heel? Never been done. Maybe the WWE needs to bring back 10-year-old Nicholas to start writing storylines for these events. He couldn't do worse. Now, I was so angry after Shane won the Best in the World Cup that I turned off the pay-per-view. I forgot that DX against the Brother of Destruction was going to happen next. So 24 hours later, I decide I need to watch that match. And I will say this, as much as I'm complaining about this pay-per-view, that match was a lot better than I thought it would be. But seeing HBK bald was not something I cared to see. At least put some spray tan on that head. Sorry, Sean, there's nothing wrong with you going bald, but it took away from the aura as the showstopper, the sexy boy, Shawn Michaels. The match was fun, and a big tip of the hat to Triple H for toughing it out after Triple H apparently tore his pec muscle and still continued throughout the rest of the match, competing with basically one arm. That shows that Triple H really cares about pleasing the WWE Universe. And I really thought I would die laughing when Kane's mask came off and Mayor Glenn Jacobs appeared. But kudos to the old vets for saving Crown Jewel from being the Titanic of pay-per-views. Wait, was that Shane McMahon saying, "I'm king of the world"? Crown Jewel turned out to be nothing but polished glass, and the polish came off quickly.
Well, and joining us on the phone with Chris on the mat is Christopher Evans.
And let's talk about the pay-per-view that was trash.
Joining us from my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, Kelly Denton. Let's talk about Crown Jewel. And as Kelly, as you were calling it, Crown Royal, but we'll get that into a different subject altogether, right?
Already they start with an OMG moment. And that was just simply having Hogan there in the middle of the ring again. So I'm thinking, well, let's just check and see if the rest of the pay-per-view can live up to that. Well, absolutely not. I mean, the matches were fine. Brock's not champion again, and not only did they make him champion again, they really took it out of Strowman to do it. They've been building Strowman up as a monster among men, and they just basically bitched him out for that whole match.
Well, I would rather have watched the Teletubbies and, you know, either watch an episode of Rocko's Modern Life than to watch Crown Jewel. I couldn't stand it. I thought it was real bad. We had to have an 87-year-old man come out that was red and white, out red and red or whatever, yellow, whatever it was, and come out and say, "Brother, brother, brother," all the time. That's all he ever says.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. You know something, maniacs? It feels so good to be out here in front of the whole WWE Universe and to be out here with all my Stark Raven Hulkamaniacs, brother. It's great to see you guys. It's awesome to be here back in the WWE. It's unbelievable to be your host tonight. And guess what, maniacs? The show starts right now. So what you gonna do when the power of Hulkamania and the Crown Jewel run wild on you, brother?
I think that's his only vocabulary he ever has. Don't build up somebody that's supposed to be this monster, these hands, and then this man that comes in and just wipes the floor with him. No. And then you got Shane O'Mac. He's the best in the world. There is only one best in the world. He ain't there anymore. Kind of pop a top on a Crown Royal and down it, because that's the only thing that will make you happy after you watch that pay-per-view.
Let's face it, that's the best of the best matches, is because they wanted to try and once again kill the memory of CM Punk, and they just can't do it.
You know, we're being pretty hard on the writing staff, but you know, they were handed a deck of cards that was pretty devastating with the news from Roman Reigns, which everyone, you know, is just devastated about. And then you add on top of that the political situation in Saudi Arabia that had Daniel Bryan and John Cena not wanting to perform there. I'm just going to ask the question, both of you. We'll go to Kelly first this time. Kelly, do you think that they just were just too overwhelmed to come up with a storyline that even made sense?
Yeah, no, I'm not even going to give the circumstances. There was something else they could have done besides throw Shane in the match. And you can't necessarily blame the writing staff because who are their bosses? Shane. Anything else would have been better than throwing Shane in there and having him be best in the world. Anything. Anybody would have been better.
And I think they were planning on doing that all along, putting Shane and making him into a heel. Chris, what do you think about my theory on that?
I'm going to have to go with Kelly on this one as well. They could have done something besides throw a younger version of Vince McMahon in there. Come on, you've got all this talent in the back that could have gone. You know, there are people that are fighting to, like cats and dogs, to be on TV or to be on a pay-per-view. And you put Shane McMahon in, and now he's best in the world? Okay. Shane can't go 5 minutes without getting an inhaler. Why don't you just take the pay-per-view and tell everybody to shove it? That's what they did.
What I thought was actually better than I was expecting match with DX and the Brothers of Destruction, or as I like to call it, X-Lax against the Brothers of Constipation. It was that match itself, I thought, was actually quite enjoyable. And I think that's the only thing that saved, well, that and the Samoa Joe and AJ Styles match, I thought were very, very good.
So the matches before the fiascos happened, they were good, solid matches, all of them. And then they get it to the payoff and they give a Shane McMahon.
Well, that's just WWE for you. What do you expect?
I got to agree with Dave on this one. You know, we're giving the writers an awfully hard time. You got to blame the main guys. This would have been Shane's doing.
Crown Jewel was a staple to show you that the WWE doesn't care about the fans anymore. And that was shown right on that pay-per-view. It was shown.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know. Sometimes I just want to beat my head against the wall and see if something comes out of it. I don't know.
They thought they were doing so good by pushing Roman against everybody else's wishes. Shows what, you know, reality is going to do for you at some point, or the other's going to bite you in the butt. And that's exactly what happened to them. They don't know who to
That
push.
Is a great point, Kelly. That is a fantastic point. Really, when the Roman Reigns thing hit, and I know that you guys agree with me 100%, what a shocker, and all of us were absolutely floored by what happened. Did they put all their eggs into one basket instead of saying, hey, you know what? Let's build up a few guys to be the, quote, face of the company instead of just this one.
The problem I'm having with it is this. You've got NXT that are bringing the house down with all these shows. Can you not go ahead and say, hey, who's the current NXT champion? Hey, let's bring him in. Hey, we've got a women's champion. Let's bring her in. We need new blood in there, not the same matches that we have seen over and over and over again.